Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to speak to you about the reading that we just heard from the Gospel. Not the Gospel. Okay. From the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And I'd like to talk a little bit about I'll put it this way. When I've been thinking about this reading this week and studying it, the thing that has come to my mind is this phrase from Jesus where he says, "What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul?" So I want to talk about what that means, to lose your soul, and specifically in Jeremiah, what that means. By the way that we lose it is by we sell it too cheap. Some of the modern translations of that line will talk about losing your life. You know, what would profit a person if you lose your, if you gain the whole world and you lose your life? But there's something about the word soul, isn't there? If you hear that phrase, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and lose your soul? I think all of us kind of have an intuitive sense of what that means. It's almost as if like your soul is something that you possess that can grow, become more well, or it could become stronger, or it could become weaker and sick. It's almost something as if it's something that you have that you can nurture. And so when we think about that, we think, well, we also think, well, this is probably, when we look about this, when we think about it, we can say, well, we've seen people do this. Whether it's on TV, watching Breaking Bad, or whether we've seen it among our friends or we've seen it ourselves, you can say, well, this person, or even me in some cases, we might say, I think I'm endangering, or that person's endangering their soul or in danger of losing their soul. So what is our soul? It's not really a substantial thing. What it is our fundamental life before God and before ourselves. And as I said, we know what it means when we hear it because we've seen it and we recognize it. And we could say that in a way, it's our entire life, which begins with our existence before God and before ourselves. And that our entire life can be, starting there, can be true, or our life can become a lie. How do we lose our soul? Well, Jeremiah simply says the way that we can lose our soul is by selling it cheaply. And what he means by that is that we sell our soul, or we provide nurturance for our soul with things that are beneath it. So our soul, we could say, is eternal. Our soul is a gift from God. It is the essence of who we are. It is the way that we encounter the world most fundamentally. It's something very deep. And the way we lose it is by handing it over to things that are not eternal, that are not life-giving, which are not satisfying, which are kind of like a dopamine hit, maybe, or something which just is not substantial, that is not like our soul itself, that is less than our soul. And so if we hand our soul over to something that is less than our soul weakens. Jeremiah would say, and the old tradition would say, our soul weakens and becomes sick and eventually can start to fade away. The way Jeremiah puts it, as we heard today, is like this. He says, you become what you worship. And then he has this kind of rhetorical thing where God says, well, go to all the nations of the world, go to Cyprus even, like the most exotic place for him. Go even to Cyprus, he says, these people's gods are ridiculous and they're made of wood and stone and they're meaningless. But have you ever heard of a god of a country that turns in its god for another god, as worthless as they are? But you have exchanged, the way he puts it, is living water for a broken cistern that you have produced yourself, and it gives you nothing in exchange. So what does it mean to, he said, you become what you worship. And he says, if you worship nothing, you become nothing. So what does it mean to worship something? Well, I don't have any idols in my house that I worship. I should probably be okay. But that, you know, worship is more than that, obviously. We could say we worship the thing that is the center of our attention, the thing that is the direction of our life. I've heard someone said once, think of the thing that you always think of when you're not thinking of something else. You know, that's pretty central to who you are. A great theologian said, what we worship is that which is our ultimate concern. So the thing that is most important to us that orients our entire life, we can say, this is my purpose for being, this is where I'm going, this is what I focus on. That is the thing that I worship, and that is my God. And if we pick the wrong God, if we pick something that is not as spiritual as even our own soul, we've sold our soul for something cheap. I mean, you know, we hear Jesus' words, not to sell your soul, and we know immediately. Not to lose our soul, we know immediately what he means. St. Augustine says, if we, so to speak, worship false gods, we sin not just against ourselves, not just against God, but we sin against ourselves. And the way that God punishes us is to hand us over to the fact that we have turned ourselves over to something that's unworthy of us. That's his punishment. It's just to say, well, there you go. So what can we do if we find that we have sold ourselves, or in the process, or amount, or small amounts of ourselves, or bits of our souls, for something that is not as valuable as our soul itself? What if we feel that we have lost elements of our soul, not our whole soul, but we can feel it happening sometimes, or in other people. Jeremiah says we've got a real problem, because along with losing our soul, what happens is we harden our hearts, right? So St. Augustine says famously, St. Augustine this morning, St. Augustine says famously is, we know that only things which are true will make us happy. So, if we really want something that is going to make us temporarily happy but isn't God, we tell ourselves, well, that must be true. A little mental trick we do with ourselves. And so that's part of what we do to kind of harden our hearts. And Jeremiah says this is a real problem, because not only do we give ourselves away too cheaply, we also trick ourselves, we harden our hearts. You know, What can we do? How can God get through to us, or through to other people? And he says there's one thing that will do it. It's this. It's God's grief. It's God's grief at having us distance ourselves from him in this way. Jeremiah says, we don't often think of God this way, but Jeremiah is full of this image of God's sadness. God's grief is so overpowering that it is the thing that can break down the door to our hardened hearts. It's the thing that can overwhelm our hearts. When we become aware of how deeply saddened God is by the loss of us, and our loss of ourselves. And God's grief has taken human form in Jesus Christ, as we all know. So what we pray for is an awareness of when that has happened, and a deep desire to not give ourselves away too cheaply, to have things take our center of our attention, which are not worthy of us, and which are really too small for us, and to say to Jesus, "Come, let me feel your love and your grief for me, and come, Lord Jesus, and restore our souls." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Open our hearts and our minds to the great love that you have for us and for the true purpose for which you have made us. We ask this in your holy name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.